SBS Radio.
Wadamuli and welcome to NITV Radio, and I'm excited as it's that time of the week again where we get to yarn all things science and technology with Wiradjuri woman and journalist Ray Johnston. Welcome back to the program, Ray.
Oh, thanks for having me, sis. Happy NAIDOC.
Happy NAIDOC week to you. I hope you've had a deadly week throughout, sis. I hope it's been really good for you. And first cab off the rank on our science and technology segment today. Apparently, same dance, different species. How natural selection drives common behaviour of lizards. What can you tell us about this story?
Yeah, this is a really surprising study by the University of New South Wales, and it's on the behaviour of lizards that are completely unrelated in very different parts of the world. And it's shown how evolution can lead to different species learning the exact same skills. So they've looked at how the annulus lizard species, which is in the Caribbean or the Caribbean, depending how you want to say it, and the Draco lizard species, that's in Southeast Asia, they've solved the exact same problem that they have with communicating with each other to defend territories and attract mates, because they both live in the same kind of rainforest and grassland habitats. So they have the same problems when it comes to communicating to a potential mate or an enemy, because their environments are really noisy. They're, you know, visually noisy as well as, you know, audibly noisy too. So it found that males from both species, they do this kind of elaborate head bob and pushing around display, and they also quickly puff up and deflate their throat fan. And it's specifically something that is done by lizards in habitats with lots of wind-blown vegetation or low light. And it's pretty remarkable that they've evolved the exact same strategy to cope with the same selection problems all the way across the world. And because really there should be heaps of ways that these lizards could have adapted to these environments. And the researchers say that, you know, them doing the exact same thing is pretty extraordinary. And they've found other similarities with other species as well. So we've got different insects and fish and frogs and birds and mammals that are, you know, increasing the volume of their calls when there's lots of acoustic background noise, or, you know, making the calls last longer, or, you know, even vibration signals by spiders can be the same across the world, where they're adapting to these different environments in exactly the same way. And it's just really cool to have some more information about this.
And that's such a cool story about lizards. Thanks for sharing that today, sis. Now we go from talking about that yarn to talking about hiding in plain sight. Apparently, museum specimens resurrect native Australian mouse from extinction.
Yeah, so the Gould's mouse, this is a mouse that disappeared from Victoria and New South Wales over 160 years ago, or so we thought, because we've used data from the genes of 8 extinct Australian rodent species. Now, they've been studied using museum species, the little taxidermied animals and other little artifacts that are up to 174 years old, along with 42 of their living relatives. And they did this, researchers originally did this to look at the decline of the species since European arrival, since colonisation. But the Gould's mouse in particular, it was found to be genetically indistinguishable, exactly the same as another native mouse that has survived on a single island in Shark Bay in WA, where it's known as Joongari. So we get to remove Gould's mouse from the list of extinct species in Australia, and it will just now be known as the Joongari mouse, because it's still here and we thought it was extinct this whole time. Now, they're calling it a resurrection of the species, and it's really good news, you know, in the face of, we've got a really high rate of native rodent extinction. It makes up 41% of Australian mammal extinction since colonisation, you know, and that's really upsetting. But this whole study, yeah, it's also a reminder of the value that museum specimens can have over the centuries, and that includes future centuries as well, because your scientists 2 centuries from now, imagine what they'll be able to do. They'll have much better preserved DNA. They'll have tissues stored in liquid nitrogen. And there's even projects in museums around the country that are storing the living cells of threatened species. So we might be able to identify and resurrect species we thought were extinct, just like we have with the Gould's mouse, which is now just known as the Joongari mouse.
Gotta love a good mouse story. Thanks for sharing, Sis. Now we go from talking about the Gould's mouse to talking about the Arctic and why the Arctic's last ice area is rapidly melting, which is not good news to hear.
No, and this is new research. It shows that unusual summer winds combined with thinning ice have triggered the dramatic sea ice loss during summer 2020 in the Arctic's last ice area, which is an important refuge for polar bears and seals and walruses. And it shows that the last ice area may be more vulnerable to climate change than we previously thought. Now, the Wandle Sea, this is a region north of Greenland in the Arctic Ocean, and it's normally covered by this thick multi-year ice that is expected to last longer than anywhere else in the Arctic in the face of climate change. So that's why it is called the last ice area. It's not actually the last bit of ice in the Arctic. It's just okay. Called the last ice area. But in summer 2020, large areas of open water appeared in this region. And to investigate what caused this unexpected sea ice loss, scientists used satellite images and a computer model that takes into account the environmental conditions in the Wandle Sea in 2020. And they do say that it was because of unusual weather, those strong summer winds blowing ice away from the last ice area. And long-term thinning of sea ice caused by climate change also contributed to ice melt in 2020. And this makes the last ice area more vulnerable to unusual weather conditions like we saw in that year. And you know, this area might eventually be the last remaining sub-habitat for some of the ice-dependent mammals, like these polar bears and seals and walruses. So, you know, protecting it is really important, and understanding what's stopping it from being as thick as it used to be is really important as well.
And like you say, a really important story to talk about today on our science and technology segment. Now we're going to go from talking about the Arctic to talking about feeling stressed. And apparently you should try gazing at a painting if you're feeling stressed. Is this right, Sis?
Yeah, this is very early research, but it's very promising research. And it does say that looking at artwork may help lower stress. This is according to a study that looked at 14 existing studies, my favourite kind of study, a meta study. And it was from scientists based in Auckland that did this one. And they found that 13 of the 14 studies on stress found that stress reduced after viewing artworks. 4 of those studies tested blood pressure, and all of those reported lowered blood pressure after looking at art. Now, the team does say that they need more research, stronger research, to test these initial findings that they have. But it's a positive start. And after I read about this, I did a bit of a test. I stared at some of the beautiful artwork that we have here at the SBS building in Sydney. And absolutely, I felt my stress lower. So highly recommend it if you're feeling a bit overwhelmed and want to reduce your stress. Try staring at some art. Science says it works.
I've got to love that. I'm well overdue for a trip to our local art gallery, so I'm definitely going to try that to feel less stressed in some areas of my life. Ray Johnston, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on our science and technology segment, as we do each week. Happy NAIDOC again to you, Sis.
Oh, happy NAIDOC, and thanks again for having me.
Our pleasure. We'll see you again next week. Thanks, Sis.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.